take your Bibles and join me there in Matthew chapter 5, and we will hear what the risen Christ is preached so many years ago. And his words are what people need to hear. And there's something in the message today, believe it or not, after we read it, that is about the resurrection of Christ. But the words of Jesus need to be read. They need to be emphasized. They need to be heard. This is a sermon that he preached. And if there ever was a day that people needed to hear the words of Jesus Christ, not just have this idea about him, but hear the words that he said, it's today. And so it's been recorded by God in the Word, his message, his sermon that he preached on a mountaintop. And I want to start where we left off in verse number 43 together of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." I don't want to emphasize this morning on the instructions to the people that heard the message. We'll do that at another time, but I do want to focus on our perfect Father. We have a perfect Father. He said in the last verse of this chapter, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And I'm not going to deal with you being perfect. And of course, some of you have already determined you can't do that or be that, but that's not the message today. If we could just stop and recognize that God the Father is a perfect God. He's a perfect God. And his perfection, and what he is emphasizing, what Jesus is emphasizing about God the Father, his perfection is not even in his sinlessness. That is not the perfection that he is exalting. He uses the perfection of the Father and shows us our imperfections by saying a couple of things. First of all, he talks about love. He says, love your enemies. In other words, he said, you guys have a problem with love. You hate some people, or you don't love those that hate you. And so there is something imperfect in your life, because the only people that you can love are the people that love you. Is that not humanity? I'm interested and concerned and have an affinity for and love for people that have that in return for me. And Jesus is saying, that's not the way God the Father is. He doesn't love that way. And you shouldn't love that way. He talks about our courteousness and our kindness. He says, some of you will only salute your brethren. You will only be, you know, people that you know really well. You'll greet and you'll be kind to and courteous to. You wouldn't do that to a stranger. And he says, you know, that's not the way your Father is. He says, furthermore, you know, your Father is so kind. He sends rain and sunshine on not just good people, but evil people. And he sends it on people that aren't interested in him. He is a kind God. And you people, you just tend to be kind to people that are kind to you. And so as Jesus lifts up his Father and is their father. I want to ask you a question. I'm so glad you're here this morning. But here's my question for you. Is God your father? You say, well, preacher, God's everybody's father. Not so. This was a very unusual thing that Jesus did. It was something brand new. No one had ever emphasized God being a father to anybody. That means you're in his family. God was just, you know, somebody way up there. He's the creator. And I'd say this, God's the creator of everyone, but he's not everyone's father. I mean, when you say somebody's your father, it's a personal relationship. My father, which is in heaven now, my dad that's in heaven, and he passed away. When I call him my dad, my father, we have a relationship that you don't have with him. There is a connection there, you see. That's very exclusive. And so it is with God. And so more important than you being on Sunday on this resurrection day is the question, are you certain that God is your Father? This was a very unusual thing for Jesus to be preaching on. And he does it constantly. Matter of fact, 44 times in the book of Matthew, he's talking about God as their Father. In the same chapter, he mentioned it in chapter number 5 here. Look at verse number 16. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify," there it is, "your Father which is in heaven." Look at chapter 6. It's all through this sermon. In chapter 6, verse number 1, he says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven." Verse number 4, "That thine alms may be seen in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret." Verse number 6, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret." Verse number 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Verse 9, oh, the famous verse. "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." My question to you is, who can pray that, and why is he speaking to this congregation, these people, in that manner? How has God become your Father? Because in another place, Jesus said this. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. It says he's the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of it. And Jesus said, "You're just like your father. I mean, you have some things in common." Now, I don't think probably we had somebody that visited the other Wednesday night, and my son was preaching, and he didn't know that it was my son, but he cornered me and he said, "Was that your son that preached?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I could tell." He said, I didn't know if that's who it was, but I just thought while I was sitting there, that must be the pastor's son that's preaching. Didn't know who Benjamin was, but there was just a likeness there. There was a tone there. There was some mannerisms there. Because when you're related, you can't get away from some of those things, you see. So here's my question to you. Are you related to God? Is there anything about him that looks like you? Or are you related to the devil? You know, that's what John said. He said, "In this are manifested the children of God and the children of the devil." I mean, people that are children of the devil, you can see it because it comes out of their lives. If you're a child of God, then there's a relationship there. There's a likeness there. And what Jesus is trying to preach to these people is, if God is your Father, where is the likeness at? So, is God your Father? You say, well, how did these people get to have God as their father? That's a good question. Would you turn to Exodus chapter 4? The book of Matthew is a book that shows Jesus Christ as the king. He's the king of the Jews. He's a Jewish Messiah. He was born of a Jewish woman. He was born in Israel. He came unto his own. You do understand that Jesus never preached outside of the land of Israel. Isn't that a fascinating thing? He never went to Italy to preach. He never went to Greece to preach. He never went anywhere. He stayed in one country and preached to one group of people. He said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he said. Now, when he's preaching to these people, this nation of Israel, and he talks about God being their father, there's a reason that he does that. In Exodus chapter number 4, the Bible says, and let me get over there and join you, Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 22. Would you look at this? Exodus 4, 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Do you see that? Even my firstborn. Israel is my, God said, Israel is my son. Is there any wonder why the whole world would have a hatred for that group of people? Now, they are the Son of God as a nation. He said in Hosea chapter 11, don't have to turn, Hosea 11 verse 1, God says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So Israel, the nation of Israel, it was known as the son of God the Father. It was a special nation, a special people. And so when Jesus gets on the scene of all these people that claim God as their father and as a nation, they are a child of God the Father. And Jesus begins preaching to them, if this is your father, then where is the likeness to him? Because what Jesus saw in the nation of Israel was no likeness at all to the Father. And Jesus even said to the Israelites, this later in his preaching in John chapter 8, he said, if God were your father, ye would love me. You know, God is not the father of anybody that doesn't love Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you, do you love Jesus Christ? Now, I know there's some people here, you love your babies and some of you love your grandbabies. You got pictures, you show them off to people, you brag about them. You coo over them. You want to spend time with them. You think about them all the time. Let me ask you a question. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you think about him all the time? Do you want to tell others about him? Is he on your heart and your mind? The Bible says, if God were your father, ye would love me. Jesus said that. Don't tell me God's your father if you don't love Jesus Christ. Because people who are the children of God, they love Jesus Christ. Jesus said, there's a problem here. You say God's your father, but you don't love me. Therefore, he could not possibly be your father. I'll give you another few reasons why God's not many people's father. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, he says, if you be without chastisement, if you can just live your life in sin and God never chastens you and he never disciplines you and he never corrects you and he never judges you, the Bible says you're not a child of God. God's not your father because he chastens every one of his children. God does not let his children run wild without putting something on their backside. So God's not a lot of people's father. The devil's their father. But the nation of Israel, as a nation, God was their father. But now wait a minute. Where does that leave me? Where does that leave you today? How could we claim that God is our father if we are not of the nation of Israel? We have no claim nationally. How could we claim God is our father? How can we apply the fact? How can we bow our head and say, our Father which art in heaven, and really know that we have a relationship with God? How can we do that if we're not a part of the nation of Israel? What claim would we have? What right would we have to claim fathership from God Almighty? Somebody says, well, I was born into a Christian home. No, you were born into a religious home. I'll never forget when I was a missionary in Romania, and one of my young converts, one of my young men, he received Christ, was gloriously saved, God changed his life, and the Orthodox priest started messing with him and giving him a rough time. And he came up to that young man on the bus, that on the train that day, and he said, young man, you need to quit listening to these people preaching to you, because you were born Orthodox, just like I was born Orthodox. And my young Christian didn't know the Bible. He looked at him, he said, sir, he said, I don't know about you, but I was born a sinner. Born a sinner. What right do I have to claim fathership from God? I was born a sinner. I was born with all the traits of the devil in my life. I came out of the womb speaking lies. How could I call? Oh, I was born Orthodox? Yes, you were born Orthodox. Well, then that makes Orthodox your father. Doesn't make God your father. It makes the Orthodox Church your father. Well, I was born Catholic. Well, that makes the Catholic Church your father. Well, I was born whatever religion. I don't need religion to be my father. I need God to be my father. Well, how's that going to happen? That's not going to happen through an act of religion. That there's no birth there. There's no birth there. So, well, I was born an American. Doesn't cut it. Only one nation could claim fatherhood of God, and it's not Americans. And the ones that claimed it, they found themselves twofold more child of hell after the thing was over. Because they didn't know God. They didn't receive his son. I'm asking you this morning, is God your father? It's the most pressing question of your whole life. How do you know that he's your father? Ye must be born again, Jesus said. Have you been born again? Well, how? I really want to spend most of the time just talking about two things about the Father. But before I do, would you go to John chapter 1? I want to give you three passages of Scripture how you can know that God is your Father. And if you do not pass this test, then God is not your Father. And it does not matter how many Easter services you go to or how many church. You can go to a church house, but that does not make God your Father. Right. The pressing question is God your Father? Are you a child of God? Everybody is not. John chapter 1. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, verse number 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Watch verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You can go to church, you can take communion, you can be baptized in water, you can try to be a good little boy or a good little girl, or do all that you want to do. But the Bible says if you're going to be a child of God, if God is ever going to be your father, you must receive Christ. You've got to open up your heart and your life and say, I want you, Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not who was born into the nation of Israel, or was born into a Protestant family, or was born being taken to church as a child, or had good mom and dad, or has a good a moral character. No, that doesn't make it. He said, you're born by receiving Christ. You're born of God because you have believed in his name. Have you received him this morning? Has there ever been a time you didn't want out of a problem, you didn't want to please other people, but from the bottom of your heart, you wanted Jesus Christ, and you said, Jesus, I receive you, I want you. Has there been a time you've done that? If not, you're not a child of God. Galatians chapter 3, the second passage. Powerful passages. If you can't say amen to these three passages, then I do not believe for one moment that God is your Father, because He's not everyone's. He can be. Galatians chapter 3, God makes it so simple. Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 26, powerful verse, "For ye are all the children of God," watch it, "by faith in Christ Jesus." The only way God can be your Father is if you put faith in Christ Jesus. Now that's why the resurrection is so important. Because if you don't put faith in Christ Jesus, that He not only lived, but He was God's Son, and He not only died, but He died for your sin, and not only was He really buried, but He literally rose from the dead. If you can't put faith in Christ Jesus, then you can never be a child of God. People say, well, today, well, I believe in the resurrection. You know, I think some people just say that with their brain. Let me tell you, who really believes in the resurrection? The devil. You know why? He was there. You know, it's hard to deny something you saw. The devil saw Him get up from the grave. The devil saw him as he walked out of the tomb and as he ascended up into heaven. The devil saw Him, amen, even before that, when He descended into the lower parts of the earth, down into hell. He saw all of that. There's nobody that believes in the resurrection more than Satan. He probably believes in the resurrection more than we do. And I'd say this, if somebody says they believe in the resurrection and they can get to church once a year, I greatly doubt it. Was that too straight? I mean, anybody can say that. Oh, I believe in the resurrection. Yeah, I believe in Pluto, but don't press me on it. I just read that in a book somewhere. They put a little picture there and said, that's Pluto. And I said, okay. But I don't have a lot of faith in Pluto. You want to put me on a spaceship and say, we're going to send you to Pluto? I said, no, I don't. I may get out there and it's not there. Oh, come on, preacher. Can't you believe what other... You say, preacher, isn't that what we do about the resurrection? Oh, no. Oh, there's a lot of eyewitnesses of His resurrection. I understand that. And I read in the Bible where He rose from the dead. I believe that. But there's something that transcends just me reading or somebody telling me about the resurrection. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives in my heart. Amen. It's not just a second-hand passed down information thing, you see. He said in the very next chapter of Galatians, chapter 4, if you drop down there, you're in 3:26, but in chapter 4, verse number 4, I love it. It says, when the fullness of the time was come, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, watch it, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I know that Jesus is alive. I believed on it. And I know that God's my Father, because when I received Christ, when I trusted Christ, He sent forth His Son into my heart. And when He sent forth His Son into my heart, then out my mouth comes, Father. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in your heart, God's not your Father. He's the only one that puts it in our heart that we can call out to our God as Father. Because we trust Him, He sends the Spirit into our hearts. Is the Spirit in your heart today? The third text, Romans chapter 8. Is God your Father? Have you received Jesus? Have you put faith in Christ Jesus? And is the Spirit of God living inside of you? If you can't pass those three things, you cannot call legitimately God your Father, no matter how religious you might be. Romans chapter 8, the Bible says in verse number 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, watch it, he is none of his. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you see that? Verse number 16, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you see that? I call God my Father because I've received Christ, because I put faith in Christ, and God's my Father because the Spirit of God tells me He's my Father. The Spirit of God dwells in me. And He dwells in anyone that's received Jesus Christ. He sends forth His Spirit into our hearts. So are you being led? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I heard a preacher one time, he was witnessing to a man down on Beale Street in Memphis. We used to go down there and preach. And this guy came up, and I mean, he was drunk as Cooter Brown. I don't know who Cooter Brown is, but he must have been a bad guy. He came up to the preacher, and the preacher said, you know, sir, you need Jesus to save you. He said, I'm saved. And that preacher did something I never saw anybody do. He opened his Bible up to Romans chapter 8. And the Bible, he read that guy, he says, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He said, let me ask you a question, sir. Did the Spirit of God lead you down to the bar tonight? Did the Spirit of God lead you to get drunk tonight? If you have to prove that God's your Father by following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, where have you been going? Where's your life going? Where is it headed? What direction are you in? Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm telling you, people, there's a whole lot of people claim that God is their Father that know not what they speak about. You got the Spirit of God in you? Okay, God's your Father. You know, people get a little bit spooky with that. If I walked up to you and sat beside you and said, hey, is the Spirit of God inside of you? Well, you know, if you go up to a southerner, somebody in Alabama, and say, you know, are you going to go to heaven when you die? They say, well, maybe. I think so. I'm not sure, but maybe. Every now and then I go to church. But if you ask them a different question, if you say, sir, ma'am, is the Spirit of God inside of you? Well, I don't know. Well, if He's not, then God is not your Father. So as Jesus is talking to these Jews, as a nation, God was their Father. But individually, personally, they didn't know God. They didn't know God because they had not received Christ. They had not put faith in Christ. The Spirit of God was not in their heart. In Romans chapter 9, he says, would you look at it? You're in chapter 8. In Romans chapter 9, he says, verse 7. Watch it now. Romans 9, 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Watch it. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed, drop down to verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he have before prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. He said, I'm going to let everybody in on this, because it's not a physical birth. It's not a natural birth. It is a spiritual birth. And I ask you this morning, have you been born into the family of God? That was for you. I don't want you to come in and out of church without answering the question in your own heart, is God my Father? Go back to Matthew chapter 5. To be honest with you, that was all introduction. But I'm a very nice preacher, so I have only two more points. Matthew chapter 5. Watch this. This is what I want you to see about your Father if you're saved. And if you're not saved, He can be your Father. I don't know what kind of dad you had in life. I had a wonderful dad. He loved me, cared for me, provided for me. He set a great example for me. But there are some people on this planet that have the worst dad on the planet. And what I'm telling you is, in God, you can find a father that will never fail you. He's a perfect father. Why wouldn't everybody want a perfect father? Look at what Jesus said about it. Matthew 5:43, you've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. You know what He just told you about your Father? You know what He just told you about God the Father? He's someone that hates His enemies. Or that loves his enemies. We hate our enemies. God the Father is a perfect Father. He loves his enemies. You say, who does he love? People that blaspheme him. Every day on this planet, God Almighty is blasphemed every minute, every hour of the day. And yet God loves them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then you hear someone say, well, preacher, I'm not God's enemy. If you're not saved, you're God's enemy. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. Everything in our sinful nature is against God. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more shall we be saved by his life? We have a God that looked down from heaven of people that hated him and hated his word and hated his preachers and hated his holiness and hated his righteousness. And yet he loved and sent forth his Son into the world. Even when we were enemies, he sent his Son to die for us. And Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of the perfect Father, stepped out. And what did the world do? The world hated him. He said that. The world hates me because I testify of it that their deeds are evil. They hated Jesus. That's why he was crucified. And if they really knew him today, they would not have him as a holy. I think they would rather really, instead of talking about Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, I think they'd really rather talk about bunnies and chocolate and eggs and whatever else they're doing, but not about Jesus. If the world really knew Jesus, they would hate him just as much today as they hated him the day they crucified him, because there's something about Jesus Christ and his perfection and his holiness that looks just like his Father, that a sinful man says, I don't like that. But yet God is a Father of love. He loves his enemies. And everything in me was against God. And God says, well, everything in you may be against me, but I'm not against you. I love you enough to give you a way out of your hell and your sin. And I'll even let you get into my family. Who in the world would let their enemy get into their family? You'll never be able to say nobody loves you. God loves you more than your mother loves you. God loves you more than your best friend loves you. God loved you so much that as an enemy, he not only had mercy on you, but he let you in his family. And he let his son die for your sin. What a God of love. You know, the Bible says, if your enemy hunger, this is God's love. If your enemy hunger, you give him to eat. And if your enemy thirst, you give him to drink. You know what God's been doing for sinners for 2,000 years? We that were enemies, he's been giving us food. And not just food for our bodies, but food for our souls. He's given us the bread of life. He's quenched our thirst and given us something to drink, given us the water of life. Well, I'm telling you, we have a God that's full of love, even for his enemies. And that's what we enjoy in today. All of us, a bunch of enemies. But there was a father that was full of love. Not only is he a father of love, my second and last point. Verse number 45 of Matthew 5. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I never saw this until this week. I've read it 100 times. It says, your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his son. You know the son doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. It's his son. You know why it's his son? He made it. And you know what God does with his son? He lets his son be a blessing to the good and to the evil. The good man says, well, I'm a good man, so I don't need the son. Without the son, you will die, even if you were a good man. You know what good men need? Good men need the same thing evil men need. They need God's son. And without God's son, they'll die. And the good man or the evil man has no power to make the sun, has no power to bring up the sun, has no power to make the sun to shine. It's his son. And God in his kindness lets his son brighten your day and warm your planet and make your grass grow and give you. It's God's son. All along the while, they blaspheme his name. And God lets the sun rise. I said he let his son rise. You know what Malachi tells us about the sun? It uses it in personification. Use a capital S-U-N. It says there's coming a day that the sun would arise with healing in his wings. The sun, S-U-N, is like the sun, S-O-N. And God's sun, S-U-N, that's brought light and life into the world, is like God's sun, S-O-N, that brings light and life into the world. And just like God lets his sun rise for the good and the evil, God let his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, come up from the grave, not for a bunch of religious people and not for a bunch of Jews, but for the evil and the good, because the good needed the sun to rise. And the evil needed the sun to rise, because without his resurrection, we are yet in our sins. We all needed the sun to rise. And God says, that's my son. Arise, my love. They need you. They need your light. They need your life. And I'll even let the evil get in on this. And there's never been a good man that did not need the righteousness and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to set him free. I'm telling you, that's a kind father that would let the sun rise not just for good people, but for evil people. Then it says he sends rain on the just and the unjust. You ever thought how kind God is to let it rain? Guys, I got to be honest with you. I don't do very well people mistreating me. I don't want to do a whole lot of things for people that are not kind to me. And here's a world that hates God and hates His Word. And God says, give them some rain. I don't want them to starve to death. Let the crops grow. Maybe an angel up in heaven says, Father, don't do that because they're down there blaspheming you. They all deserve to die. And God in His kindness says, just go ahead and let it rain again. But Lord, they don't care about you. They don't read your Bible. They don't worship you. They live their own lives. Their lives are full of sin. They care more about their iniquity than they've ever cared about your Son. Just stop the rain, and maybe they'll think about twice about their heart and their life and about what they need. Just stop the rain, God. And God in His kindness just says, no, I think I'll let it rain again. What about all the perverts and all the other? Let it rain on them too. Can I end with one other chapter in Luke? In Luke chapter 6, which is a companion passage to this. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. The Bible says in Luke 6, 35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Watch this. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. We have a Father. 2 Corinthians calls Him the Father of mercies. We have a merciful Father. You know what a merciful Father is? A merciful Father continues to be good to people that are not thankful for anything that He does for them. Did you wake up this morning and say, God, thank you that I made it through the night? Did you wake up this morning, go outside, and God, thank you that you didn't cut all the air off? It's His air. Lord, thank you for the sunshine. It's so beautiful today. Thank you for that. Do you thank Him every time it rains? How many good things God does for us and we never thank Him one time. And He keeps being kind. That's a Father. That's a Father you need. And that's a Father that you should want if He's not your Father today. Sometimes all of us were disobedient, filled with all types of sin. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed abroad on us abundantly through Christ Jesus. What a God, what a Father. Do you know Him today? I'm so glad you're in church. But I so want you to have this loving, kind Father that I know that I have through Jesus Christ. The goodness of God, just the goodness of God, should lead every human being to repentance.